Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I would have dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is awesome to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Couture. What's going on, Couture?
I'm fine.
Cool. And we also have our other co-host on the line, returning after taking the week off last week. Craig, what's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. I didn't have to rush and try and find another replacement co-host like last week to help me review the ROH show because someone puts his paying job over his non-paying job for some reason.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah. I expect better, but oh well. But Anyway, it really wasn't a big week for news until today, and then shit just actually started happening all over the place. So, I guess we could start with what would be the biggest news, and then we'll get to what we were gonna preview the big MSG show with Brock Lesnar, and also what might be TNA's very last pay per view, Bound for Glory. But John Cena has apparently decided to take some time off, and will be gone for about 5 or 6 weeks. And they're already having bad ratings, and it's the middle of football season, so the ratings might be hurt, but. Honestly, it might be good. They got to push somebody, and, you know, maybe Ambrose or Cesaro actually get a break and get pushed for a few weeks.
Yeah, everybody needs vacation. Everybody needs time off.
And stay with him.
Yeah, and the guy's been working hard for many, many years. And if anybody deserves a vacation, it's John Cena. And I've always said that, you know, the champ doesn't have to be on TV every week. And it's good when they're not. And I think he's going to return, maybe better than he left, you know.
It is the beginning of the shitty season when we get the Kane pushes and stuff. It's like this every year, I think. Kind of push Kane.
Yeah, you didn't start getting good until the new year, and then the Royal Rumble season, everything kicks in. But yeah, it is kind of that downtime. And it's just been, the shows have just been so-so, but, you know, maybe they're going to be forced to do something new, so hopefully something good will come out of it, and it won't suck like it's kind of been for the last few weeks. Even though I do like the Happy Kane and Demon Kane storyline. And I always get a kick out of when they bring in the magic powers that Kane and The Undertaker have, like they did on Raw where Kane was limping, like his leg was broken, and then he just stomped it, and then he was perfectly fine. I fucking marked out for that. It was almost as good as when him and The Undertaker were throwing lightning at each other.
back when it was
and other big news in UFC. So there is, besides you know, the TNA and MSG show and the Shine show that I'm about to watch, which is of course running a little late because, like I say, it is an all women's pay-per-view. There's also a big UFC show, and they just lost their semi-main event today because the reported storyline is Johnny Hendricks, who was in a fight with Tyrone Woodley for a number one contendership to get the next title shot against Robbie Lawler. And there's also history between these two guys because they wrestled in college, and Johnny Hendricks went on to win this tournament, but in this tournament he faced Tyrone Woodley, and in the process, Tyrone Woodley was disqualified for apparently biting Johnny Hendricks' finger, which Tyrone Woodley is says that he didn't do that, that Johnny stuck his, just kind of shoved his hand in his mouth, and he just goes on and on that he didn't do it, like to the point where, it's, you know, you think maybe he didn't do anything because he's so adamant about it, and Johnny's just acting like he don't give a fuck, so. You know, but anyway, what happened was is apparently he's having some blockage and a kidney stone and had to go to the emergency room and was in just too much pain, and that's why he's not in the fight. It seems like Dana White, who's kind of a dick, thinks that he just wasn't going to make weight and this was his way out. But who knows? But anyway, the semi-main event is off the books, and it was going to be a good fight because they are two good fighters. But yeah, so that kind of happened. So, you know, like, I guess that kind of sucks.
Yeah,
that's pretty kind of true of having.
It's too bad because Johnny Hendricks is a great fighter. He's exciting to watch, and you know, once you start cutting weight, you start getting to that point where it just, you know, your body just shuts down, and I'm pretty sure that's what happened here. So. Sucks, but, you know, what are you going to do?
They also
yeah,
announced a show with him at a place that they're not legally allowed to run.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It's
yep.
just
the,
it's just posturing, really. I mean,
it's
I think
stupid.
The odds are that it's not going to happen. But they did it for a reason. And they did it because one time they tried to sue New York over them not letting them have a show, and the judge basically said, well, you don't have a show booked, how are you being hurt? You're not being hurt because you don't have a show booked. So now they're booking a show, so now they can go back and sue New York again, and this time they can say, hey, we have this show that's not going to be able to go on, you know what I mean? They have kind of a reason to sue. So that's basically what it is. It's more like to help with future litigation.
Because why would you book a show if you don't have, if you can't run? I mean, if you can't run the show,
they're not keeping them from making money from running the show. So it's all posturing.
They're not keeping them from making money. Why would you book a show at a place you can't run? You know,
because they have
to
do it so the judge, if they have to do it so the next time they file a lawsuit against New York, the judge can not say that, hey, you don't have any, you're not losing anything. Even though they can't have
right.
a show, they still book the show. So technically, they could lose something if they had the show. It's just a whole bunch of rhetoric
that's
bullshit.
That's kind of stupid, though.
Yeah.
Yes, you are correct. It is kind of stupid.
The whole thing's dumb on both sides, I think. I mean, it's totally stupid that MMA isn't legal in New York, of all places, by now. I mean, that's been stupid for years. Everybody knows that. But still, you know, booking a place where you can't legally run is stupid, too, to me. So, whatever.
Yeah, exactly, whatever.
Yeah. But,
hey, who's in charge of that stuff on the front page? Because when I go to the front page and a picture of Granny Flesh is up, I think she died or something. Some don't do that no more.
Brian actually put that on himself because I don't know. I didn't actually, like, I just, like, glanced at it. I didn't click on it or see, like, the whole original photo. But apparently that photo is from a pot store because Granny and her family went to the pot store.
But they're going to pay the new site load so fast now. That thing, this is the first thing that came up, and I said, oh, fuck. And,
oh, no.
It was just a preview for the show.
Poor granny.
So, she died or something.
Oh, no.
She forgot everything like that one time where she, like, lost all her, like, short-term memory.
When you get to be that age, you're lucky to have a long-term or short-term memory, if you ask me.
So, I guess sometimes whenever, like, an old wrestler picture flashes up on the screen when I go to the site. You know, I used to, the other one because I was using just the usually just use the mobile site. We didn't have any photos, and just had.
No, it does.
So.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
That's a little nitpick, but still.
Speaking of like Granny's photo, there's been not counting the Granny's photo, but there's been a lot of nice photos on the front page. Basically, thanks to me for. Because I successfully produced Shine Week on Wrestling Observer Live. And, you know, so everyone thanked me for all the awesome women's interviews on Wrestling Observer Live. It was all me. Brian had nothing to do with it.
I didn't listen to one of them.
Yeah, well, you're an asshole.
Well, maybe so.
You're supposed to support the website. In women's wrestling, Craig, the revolution, you know, it's not just in the WWE. There's actually real women's wrestling outside of WWE.
Hmm.
Yeah,
well,
which next week, there won't be a show next week unless you want to do it on Thursday, because next week I will be in Chicago the 10th and 11th DVD tapings of Shimmer. And also, on Friday, I'm going to a show, AAW, I believe is what it's called. It's in the same place.
Ooh. Yeah.
And they're going to have, some of the girls are going to have Mia Yim against Allison Kay. They're going to have Heidi Lovelace and Candice LeRae against Havoc and Tessa Blanchard. And then Johnny Gargano's on the show. Ricochet is on the show. ACH is on the show. Eddie Kingston's on the show. Seems like a pretty loaded show, so it's going to be like basically I'm going to 5 shows in 3 days. It's going to be crazy.
That's cool. Yeah, I've heard of that organization or that group, and I've heard they run pretty good shows. So that'll be fun. I like doing indies. I wish we had them around here. Anyway.
Well, you do. They're just outside with 30 people.
Or I could drive 2 hours to a casino on a reservation and watch Kevin Sullivan work in front of, 35 people. It's just so very sad.
Caden doesn't run any shows at all anymore?
Yeah, Caden runs, he runs Woodinville Championship Wrestling, and they run like twice a year. In a bar, and I want to say the name of the bar is like Moose Drool or something like that.
It sounds like a bar name up there.
Yeah, it's like the Moose Drool heavyweight title is on the line and such. So
Moose Drool heavyweight title.
And besides that, we don't have any guys that are very spectacular out here. I mean, if I drove up to Canada, I could see Buddy work regularly, and he's got some students out there that are really good. But you know, there's the whole.
What about that one? What about
the border?
What about that one dude who Brian would only wrestle in Tulalip? Let's say that. He wore all pink and had a mirror.
Oh, Chris Rizik.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Yeah, he's good. He's good, but you're talking about Ricochet and and people like this. We have nobody like that. So,
I didn't go to it, but the last Inspire show in Austin, they brought in a shitload of Chikara people. And they had like about maybe eight guys from Chikara and stuff. So that's one thing about the shows here. They do bring in talent. And, I can only imagine what it'd be like to live on the East Coast. And then you get three shows a weekend with a bunch of, like, awesome talent.
Right.
Because everyone, for the most part, is up there and shit. But, yeah.
Right.
Speaking of, who holds the
Bumblefuck TV title up in that organization? Aside from the, like, the Moose Rule Heavyweight Championship.
You know what? I couldn't even tell you right now.
Okay.
There's a group in Oregon. They're called DOA, and they'll bring in Cabana and like Honky and stuff like that every so often. But you know, there again, it's in Oregon.
Not Valerian Brotherhood, is it? The DOA.
I can't. I don't even know if Sandy Barr is running anywhere but out on the reservations in Oregon now. So.
I didn't know if Sandy Barr was still alive.
Yeah, I was about to say that. I'm surprised he's still alive. I mean, I haven't heard Sandy Barr's name in a long time.
Yeah, he still runs. It's funny. If you go through Portland, the first thing you see as you cross the border and you get right outside of the city, there's a horse racing track, and then like that same exit is the world famous Sandy Barr flea market. And if you go in there, they've got, you know, every ethnicity under the sun selling things inside of there. But up in a loft area, there's still a wrestling ring set up there. I don't know if they actually use it, but it's still there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of your part of the woods, Craig, did you see the little tiff between Lila and David Richards?
Oh, gosh, no, I didn't.
Okay, well, basically, what's her... Okay, I only know his real name, and I don't want to say that, but what's her boyfriend's working name?
Oh, Dash.
Dash, okay.
Dash
Venture. I think his mother might have passed away or something.
Yes.
And Lila wanted to go back to be with him because she's been in Louisville training at OVW, and I think Dash made a little GoFundMe for her to, you know, get the money to get her back. And Davey Richards trolled the Facebook thread on it. And I forgot what he said, but he just made some rude, stupid comment. And Lila got pissed and just went off on Davey. And then just a bunch of other people, local wrestlers, were talking about how much of an asshole he is. And I remember the only real person I've ever really heard Buddy Rain talk bad about is Davey Richards. So it's like, you know, he really does come off like an ass. I mean, it's like somebody you know's mother died and you're taking the time to troll him and his girlfriend. It's like, don't do it on that thread, you know what I mean? Do it on something that has nothing to do with something like that, you know what I mean? It's just kind of a bad situation. And I feel for Lila and her boyfriend because they seem like really nice people on Facebook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, she seems to get a little heat, but, I mean, she was nice when she was on the show. I mean, I thought she was great. So hopefully
they can take
care of their things and everything will be okay.
She's a very sweet person, but I don't know what it is when she gets around the wrestling people and the business in general, but she kind of... How do I say this politically correct? She seems to complain a lot, and she's there's a lot of drama that surrounds her, and that's anyway. Sometimes she doesn't have a very good rep, and you know, we know that. But as far as Davey goes, yeah, the guy's... Well, the guy's a natural heel, so he's the only wrestler that I have ever seen in my life working live. A fan was heckling him, and so as he was on the ring apron, he reached down the back of his shorts and filled his hand up with his back sweat and tossed it at him.
Gross.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Isn't that even gross? That's disgusting.
Well, you can be like an old school heel and just go face to face with him and shove him or something.
The only thing worse than that was when Kenny Omega stuck his hand and rubbed his balls all over the place, and then Kevin Steen grabbed his hand and licked it.
I'm glad I never hear these stories.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Anything for a pop from Kevin, I'll tell you that.
We got notice that we have another show this week, an NXT show.
I know, I was just going to say that. There is a NXT show on Wednesday night there, Eddie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's damn it. Shit, there's the big shows everywhere. Now, I really haven't heard too much of that show other than the main event being the Iron Woman match and I think the final for the Dusty thing. Other than that, I'm not aware of any other matches that they have on it.
I've got it all in front of me.
Okay, well, go ahead and let's run it down.
Well, actually, we're running down three shows, so let's go in order.
Okay, let's start with, I guess, Madison Square Garden show.
Yeah, tomorrow night on the WWE Network, Saturday night, October 3rd. Check your local listings, but it says 8 o'clock Eastern, so I'm going to start with around 5 here. We've got just a few matches listed on this page. I didn't see a full rundown anywhere on their site, but the matches, and this one's not even on their site, Chris Jericho will be wrestling Kevin Owen.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a really good match. Jericho and Neville had that awesome match in Japan, and this match will be awesome just because they're going to tell just their the storytelling in their stuff.
Yes,
that'd be awesome. Let alone what they can do in the ring. So this might be the show stealer as far as best overall match. I mean, I'm sure Brock will be a spectacle, throwing Big Show all over the place, but I think it's a safe bet to say this will probably be match of the night.
Yeah, I tend to think I think Kevin and Jericho are going to work really well together. I mean, both the guys are amazing storytellers in the ring, so I think this is going to, as you said, Ed, I think it's going to steal the show. Okay, we have the Dudley Boys will be wrestling the New Day for the Tag Team Championship. And looks like everything's pointing to a title change.
Everything but the odds.
That's true.
I have a feeling they're gonna end up doing like a tables match at the Hell in a Cell show or something like that. So
that would make sense. I mean,
yeah.
Didn't New Day beat these guys
on Monday
they beat, correct?
Yeah, they beat Devon.
So all the build towards it would say that they were getting the titles here, but why wouldn't you hold that off for Hell in a Cell? Of course, then
you know, everyone thinks the Dudleys are going to get the big win in Madison Square Garden for the hometown pop and everything, but people do realize that this is the WWE. When does anyone ever win in their hometown? You know what I mean? It's almost like a guarantee the Dudleys are going to lose just because they're in New York. Like
that's where Dudleyville is?
Well, it's kind of like their hometown kind of a thing, and that's where, you know, they're kind of like, that's why they wanted to have them win it there. But, you know, it's just, fuck, I lost my train of thought.
Which part's unknown? Is that in upstate New York?
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, the most wrestlers that I ever saw wrestle from parts unknown were actually wrestling in the WWE, so yeah, it probably is up north, northeast.
Hmm. That makes sense.
Well,
yeah,
the Ultimate Warrior's from Queens, so he was from parts unknown and Queens.
If WWE was still on the kick of trying to sell their network, what better way to sell the network is to where, hey, on these special shows, you might see a title change. So
yep.
I don't know. That's just my feeling.
I mean, I don't care one way or the other who had the titles. I like
right.
New Day, but I mean, it don't make me no difference.
Right, exactly.
As long as they bring up the trombone, I don't care what if they got the book or not.
Did you all see that 17-minute thing on WWE.com with just the New Day just going crazy and talking shit to Eden and Big E talking about how disgusting his mouth is and how gross it is, and they were just rambling out of control. It was crazy.
I didn't see that, but I did watch the Table for Three on the network, which everybody should check out with the New Day, and especially check out the Medusa, Ivory, and Molly Holly Table for Three, where they sit down and have dinner for half an hour.
I just watched that one last night, I think, or this morning. It was okay. Medusa's a little out of her mind.
She's too hot, though, for an older woman.
It's funny because her and Ivory, both their faces were so pretty, but you could tell their age by their necks. It's like their faces were pretty, their necks were old, their breasts were nice, you know? And Molly still looks fantastic. Oh, my gosh, she still looks great.
Yeah. Oh, she told the story where she wasn't going to be on the WrestleMania show, maybe going to do a pillow fight, but then she offered to shave her head because she got on WrestleMania 20.
That's dedication.
Okay. I don't know if Brock and Show are going to actually end the show. I don't know if that's actually the main event. But there is a cage match between John Cena and Seth Rollins. And traditionally, cage matches went on last. So that is also on the show.
And I'm pretty sure Cena will win by escaping a cage or something like that.
Depends on whose title is in the line.
Yeah.
If John Cena's title's on the line, then he's winning. If Seth's on the line, then I think he's probably going to win.
Yes, it says the title is on the line against... Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. The title is on the line. The U.S. title is on the line against World Champion Seth Rollins inside a steel cage. There you go.
Okay. So I mean,
that's like fucking NWA champion Ric Flair wrestling whoever is the Mid-Atlantic TV champion for the Mid-Atlantic TV champion instead of them wrestling for the world title.
Yeah.
Although I would say the U.S. title at this point might be a little bit better than the world title because John Cena's been a stronger champion. Whatever.
And the only other match they have on this update or preview is the main event, which is Brock Lesnar versus The Big Show.
They've had good matches in the past. I don't know why people were like so negative on this match. I guess just because of The Big Show, but they've had decent matches before, so.
I think it's going to be a very fun match.
When the suplex count gets to like 10 or 11, I'm sure the Big Show is going to be hurting pretty bad.
It was funny when they showed the video package for this match. When Big Show beat Brock Lesnar, they won Survivor Series like 2002. And they showed like Paul Heyman and ringside. He just looked like he was shocked when he was the one that turned on Brock Lesnar in that match to help Big Show win. They didn't mention that.
Yeah, totally changed history on that one.
On the lineup that I got, it also says Randy Orton versus Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler versus Rusev. So.
Okay.
They'll be better than Raw matches because they're half-show matches, so there'll be more wrestling. So maybe they'll be all right. Hopefully Ziggler won't be missing super kicks by 2 feet and fucking everything else up. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be a good show. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be a fun show. Okay.
I'm actually watching them real quick. Real quick, let me just interrupt you real quick. I'm actually watching, like, the Shine pay-per-view live, and since it's the Shimmer weekend next weekend, you know, all the international girls are in town, so Shine, you know, brought in a whole bunch of them. So I've been watching this one match with, like, two girls I've never heard of, and Shazza McKenzie from Australia, who's good, and then this girl named Jasmine Jensen. I cannot forget what her name is, but she usually wrestles in a T-shirt, and she doesn't have the T-shirt, and this chick is fucking jacked to the gills, man. She's probably got bigger biceps than any of us, and they've been actually having one hell of a match for the opener, and yeah, I can't wait for fucking next week. Shit. Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, next up is on Sunday, we have what could be TNA's very last pay-per-view, believe it or not. And got
except
the,
for the 30 others that they've already filmed.
Yeah, well, there is that.
They got three that they haven't shown yet?
They said they got a bunch of them in the can somewhere, don't they? They did a bunch of those one-night-only shows. They taped, like, in, like, 3 or 4 days, a couple months back or something.
I know they've shown a few of them. I know they've shown the women's one and another one. But, yeah, maybe they do have some. But this will probably be the last
They're gonna need them starting next week.
Paper.
Yeah. They're going to need them starting next week, maybe, on Destination America, since I don't think they have any tapings after this pay-per-view, at least none that I've seen.
I think they're supposed to go on tour in India, and they're probably going to film stuff in India.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, they do still got to produce shit for their international shows.
Yeah, that's mainly why they do those one-night-only shows, because it's, like, international stuff, so...
You gotta make money some way.
Well, they're not getting mine. This may be the last show. My money ain't gonna make no difference to them. So I ain't buying it.
Yeah. I can't even remember the last time I watched Impact.
I'm still out of the loop on anything that's happening TNA, like, storyline wise. I would be, like, totally lost if I tried to watch this show. So there's no point in me. And not like it looks. Some of the stuff might be good, but I mean, I'm just not into TNA anymore. I can't watch it anymore. So
I hear you.
Well, let's turn it down so we get something to talk about. I will do that.
So I got the lineup in no particular order. I'm just going to go to the bottom of the page and start reading out matches. We have Kurt Angle versus Eric Young.
Didn't Kurt Angle say he left TNA, or I guess he's leaving TNA?
He's leaving. I think this is his final match.
Okay. It's so incredible Kurt Angle still wrestles. He should have, like, retired, like, a long, long time ago. But hopefully he won't get injured.
Got a brother in jail now. Killed his wife, supposedly. That was kind of weird.
Is that the, like, I guess that would be his oldest brother, because they did seem a lot older than Kurt.
When I first saw that, I thought that, what's his name, killed an idiot.
Oh, jeez.
When his brother, he had a brother married to our right? Nidia from Tuffano?
I didn't know that.
Like
Eric Nidia.
Eric Angle, I think it was.
Yeah, I remember Eric Angle, but I don't remember him and Nidia.
Yeah, but I think they got married at some point.
Oh.
They were together and got married.
News to me.
But I'm sure it'll be. I'm sure, you know, we're all talking about how Kurt Angle should have retired a long time ago, but he is Kurt Angle, and Eric Young's pretty good, so it'll probably be the best match of the show.
Kurt Angle at 50% is better than most guys at 100, so.
Yeah.
Still trying to get that last WWE run in, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
I think he returns to WWE when he goes to the Hall of Fame. So.
That's fair. Well, if this is his last match, I would expect Eric Young to win this. Okay, we have Lashley versus Bobby Roode in the King of the Mountain Championship.
How do you have a singles match with the King of the Mountain title on the line? Doesn't that involve, like, penalty boxes and stuff?
You know what? When you change the rules all the time for matches, it's kind of hard to keep keep track over what's what. So that's on them.
That's confusing. Because isn't it like the King of the Mountain is like a reverse ladder match or something? I never liked that match, but anyway. So it's stupid. Like the reverse battle royale.
I know Bobby's got like a fight coming up too in not too long, so I'm surprised he still does both, you know what I mean? I don't know. Bobby Roode's good, so I mean it might be a good match.
You gotta have something to fall back on. TNA's kind of shaky now, so.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think that'll be a good match. I don't even know why we need to discuss this, but there is an Ultimate X Championship match. And Tigre Uno is the champ. And in the place of the three wrestlers that are going to be behind him, there are question marks. So they are selling this match, saying Tigre Uno is going to face three other dudes, and tune in to find out who those other dudes are.
How many guys? Three?
Equation TNA is.
Yeah.
A mystery match.
Well, let's see if we can figure it out. Cruiserweights, okay. Excursion. Is Spud on any other matches?
Let me see. I don't see him. No.
Okay. What about Zima Ion?
Don't see him either.
Now, who would be the third? That's the only one I can't figure out. They don't have the X Division guys like they used to when they used to have a little bit of
Not Havoc. What's the other kid? Manic.
Manic, yeah. TJ Perkins.
Yep.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah. It'll be action-packed.
TJ Uno versus DJ Z versus Manic is what Wikipedia says. So.
Okay.
Well, there you go. And we have a women's match, Gail Kim versus Awesome Kong for the Knockouts title.
It'll be okay. Unfortunately, Awesome Kong, her back is just so jacked, she can barely do anything. I'm sure
right.
It'll be okay, but it ain't going to be anything close to what they used to do when they were the best thing on TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that they had there were two matches that just blew everything out of the water on TNA at the time. And, I guess the right match to have as far as, like, name value, but... And I don't think I think it'll just be okay. It's not going to be what it used to be.
Right.
And what I heard that like this week, because I think the match wasn't that good with the Dollhouse against whoever they wrestled. But the week before they had a single with Gail Kim and Mia Yim that was supposed to be pretty awesome. So I would have preferred that on the pay-per-view, but you know, they're going to go with the bigger name, Awesome Kong. So, you know,
okay, I have no idea what this is, but it says Bound for Gold match.
I think it's a gauntlet for the gold, like for a title shot. You know, like
okay.
The old Royal Rumble or something.
Okay, that makes sense, I think.
Does it have any name? Mine's got names.
It's got Mr. Kennedy. There's Big Brother guy, Jesse. There's the Robbie.
The one-legged dude?
Yes, Robbie.
Oh, did he win his leg back?
I didn't know he lost.
Didn't Eric Young win his leg in a match?
Don't know.
Eric Young won his leg in a stipulation match on one of those impacts. And so he didn't have his leg no more. I don't know if he got it back.
Also pictured is Abyss and Tyrus. and two fellas, I have no idea who they are. That's very sad.
They're probably Global Force guys.
That makes sense.
As soon as you said Mr. Kennedy, it's like I could have cared less about this match.
Right. Oh, it's so sad.
There's Aiden O'Shea. I don't know if that's somebody from Ireland or England or whatever. Mahabali Shira, maybe somebody from India. I don't know these people.
Dixie's doing the press conference with him, and that's why everyone thinks it's about the India tour and that they're going to tape in India.
And Brodus Clay's in this match.
Yeah, Tyrus. I remember his name.
Jesse Godders, the guy from Big Brother.
Yeah.
Ken Anderson.
Yeah, it doesn't sound...
Well, that might mean I don't want to watch anyway.
Yeah, that doesn't really sound like a great match there.
That looks scary. Okay, we have for the tag team titles, we have the Wolves versus Brian Myers and Trevor Lee.
Isn't one of those guys Kurt Hawkins?
Yes, it is. I'm guessing that's Brian Myers.
And this is like, they're from like the Global Force Wrestling or something.
Yeah, Trevor Lee's a good worker. He's fun to watch. So I've seen him, I think I saw him 2 years ago. Anyway, yeah, he's great. Okay. Why are we reviewing this? The main event is for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. We have EC3 versus Matt Hardy versus Drew Galloway.
Jeff Hardy is the referee.
Oh, my bad.
It's weird because
he's doing something
Gary,
where he's like the personal slave of EC3 or something. I think that's a storyline. He like
I think he got fired though.
Oh, okay.
I think he was like a bad assistant and got fired. This will probably be a good match. I mean, I haven't seen Drew since he left WWE, but everyone says he's doing good. And EC3 is supposedly coming into his own. Unfortunately, he's doing it right when the company is falling apart.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it'll be okay. I don't know if it'll be great or anything, but... I'm
up in North Carolina, so they'll probably turn Jeff Hardy heel on his brother. I don't know.
Probably.
It seems like a swerve to me they would do.
I'm distracted because Ivelisse is on about to wrestle, and
she's distracting for sure.
She's a little cutie. She's had a rough year. I mean, she missed the majority of the year with that broken... Well, I can't say she missed because she still did, like, what, 3 or 4 Lucha Underground matches with the boot on that she could barely walk on. But,
yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Just saying, that's dumb.
I mean, shit, in the match where they won the titles is the match where she actually broke her ankle. And that was... painful to watch. I mean, Jesus Christ. I couldn't tell if she was the greatest seller or if she was really hurt. It turned out she was really hurt.
she is the greatest seller. She's selling for real.
Yeah. But, she's just resting Thunder Kitty, so they're slowly building her back up after her injury. But, yeah, that's another person TNA screwed up on because, you know, she impressed everybody on that fucking, what was that stupid challenge shit? And she even won the match and they picked the big girl who couldn't wrestle over her.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
WWE had her and they let her go.
Yeah.
Also, didn't she?
And then for a stupid reason, because the reason that they didn't like her is because, kind of like, you remember when they got mad at the original, at Mystico when he came in as Sin Cara because they brought in this guy who was the biggest star in Mexico, and he walked around like he was a big star. But in their mind, he wasn't a big star, even though he was a big star, and they didn't appreciate that, and they thought he had a bad attitude. That's what they didn't like about her. She's very confident in what she can do. From what I hear, she's like a very, very confident person, and they just didn't like that at her position or whatever, and they thought she had a bad attitude, when in my opinion, that's the best wrestlers are the ones that have that attitude or that cockiness, you know what I mean? You know,
yeah,
like
places and stuff like that, you gotta be a little bit smarter, I think. Especially nowadays.
And I guess also being a woman probably doesn't. Being a woman probably didn't help. You know what I mean? I'm sure they're more accepting of it the guy than a girl.
I thought she was
confident.
Even before she got like. Before she was in developmental, she was on that Tough Enough, and I thought she was the best one on there. So, but of course, that never means anything in the first place. I don't care about
that.
The
only reason she got because she was never in the bottom three until she got eliminated, and she only got eliminated because she was hurt because of
that's right.
Of Foxy, Alicia Fox's sister hurt her.
Yes.
And that was an ankle injury too, wasn't it? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's funny to me. They want people that are confident in the ring. But don't you dare be confident backstage.
Yeah, that's so weird because it's
I'd be nervous as hell walking around backstage. It'd be like walking on eggshells. It has to be
absolutely.
A lot of people. You know,
just
I mean,
make sure you shake
like,
everybody's hand.
Oh shit! I don't want to walk on the left side of the hallway. You know, I might fuck something up, or you know, somebody kid one of those fucking unwritten rules or some stupid shit. They get so much stupid shit. You know,
but the bad part of that is if you're walking on eggshells backstage, you're not going to be confident in the ring. It's going to slowly get to you, and you're going to lose your confidence. So it's like a catch-22. You're screwed if you do. You're screwed if you don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
You have to be like their pet project. You know, like Dana Brooke. You know what I mean? Hunter loves Dana Brooke,
mm-hmm.
So Dana Brooke will get all the chances she wants. But someone that they don't like. Their favorites or whatever, they're just, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, like the, you know, they're reporting that Blue Pants has a lot of heat. You know, why would people who actually have a job get mad at the person who doesn't have a job? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, let the person have, like, their little fucking piece of cake, you know what I mean? Why hate on somebody when basically they're using her, but they're not hiring her, and they've already hired you, so why would you get mad? You know what I mean?
Maybe she has heat because she wears the same clothes.
I don't think that, because most wrestlers wear the same gear.
No, I'm just kidding. This is all gimmick. She wears the same thing. I mean, this is brilliant.
Yeah. I got it, Katrina. I got it. Okay, speaking of Blue Pants, NXT TakeOver, and this show is being called Respect. And this show will be airing on Wednesday night at your local NXT time. And we've got a lineup here.
NXT, is that like 8 Central or something?
I think so. Do you watch? I
probably won't watch it live. It don't matter anyway. So.
Exactly. I can't remember the last time I watched anything live. Okay. I'm trying to figure out this whole. I got it now. Okay, sorry. First match, starting from bottom to top, we have Tyler Breeze versus Apollo Crews.
That should be good. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure Tyler Breeze is going to have to do the job. He seems to do a lot of those, but it should be I didn't see the match, but apparently Cruz had a good match with Gargano, so this will just be another match to show what he's got. And Tyler's always had good matches on all the takeovers. I mean, he's pretty good. So I'm sure it'll be an exciting match, you know.
Yeah, I got a lot of hope for Apollo Crews. He's he's their complete package. That's exactly what Vince loves. So, Tyler Breeze, there ain't nothing wrong with that kid either.
Sure.
Yes, I will watch.
Okay. And we have, okay, somebody help me with this Asian lady's name.
Asuka.
Asuka.
It's
versus
not
Dana Brooke.
It's Asuka.
Okay. It's Asuka, or Rover told me it was Askar. I don't think it's Askar.
You're getting your pronunciation from Rover.
Gotcha.
According to Rover, he has more scoops than Brian, more sources than Brian.
Sure he does.
Rover.
Yeah.
Yeah, just follow him on Twitter. You need everything you need.
Yeah, it's I really think it's Asuka, but it's spelled Asuka, so that's weird. Basically, I don't know. It's so weird.
It doesn't matter how you say her name.
You know how, like, they want you to work WWE style? She don't work WWE style, so I wonder how hard they're going to let her hit and kick Dana Brooke. Because if they really want to make her look impressive, they're not going to put any restraints. And if that's the case, Dana Brooke's in for a long, painful night because she's going to get that shit kicked out of her. So we'll see what kind of restraints they put on her. I mean, Kana is... I've seen her a bunch of times. She's actually fucking awesome. And she's one of the hardest hitters out there. And, yeah, it's going to be a bad night for Dana Brooke.
Okay. So they're doing the semifinals and finals of the tag tournament, the Dusty Tag Tournament. And... they have Jason Jordan and Chad Gable versus Baron Corbin and Rhino on one side. And on the other
I hope they let Gable's team win, but I have, it's WWE and, you know, they like the big guys to win, so I don't know, but I'd rather see Gable and the other dude win.
And on the other side of the coin there, we have Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. They'll be wrestling Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder.
I've heard most of them guys in this tournament. I've heard of Baron Corbin, Rhino, Finn Balor, and Samoa Joe, and said so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Balor and Samoa Joe will win, and then they'll...
Interesting. You would think that, you know, if you look at this thing, you'd think they would put the titles on Samoa Joe and Finn, but they might want to elevate somebody else, so hard to say.
Apparently Dustin and Cody are going to be presenting the trophy, so.
Oh, that's very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the only other match on the show is the 30-minute Iron Woman match between Bayley and Sasha Banks.
She seems like it takes him like 30 minutes just to get one fall last time.
Yeah, it was 20-plus minutes.
I'd rather see just like a good hard fall, like a 30-minute singles match in an Iron Man. That means they're always doing a bunch of falls, and sometimes it looks unrealistic when you get falls so quickly on one another in those matches. But whatever, it probably still be good. So
the promo for this, the video, it looks completely awesome. Everything they've been doing for this match is above and beyond. It's really good, and I think it's going to be a great match.
Yeah, it should be awesome. I mean, the last one was awesome, and as long as they don't overbook it, it'll be awesome. That's the only thing I worry about them. They might try and overbook it, but you know, if they don't, I think it'll be awesome.
I like to show this head. Every match actually means something. So this doesn't have like a bunch of throwaway matches on here. Like each one didn't have like
Absolutely.
Some kind of premium stuff on there. So that's good.
And that's it. That's the next NXT show taking place on Wednesday.
Damn, I lost my computer fucking connection, and I don't know if Evelise won. I'm sure she did, but I can miss that match.
Poor head.
What do you watch that on? Do you watch that on WWN?
Yeah, I just watch it on WWNLive.com. I don't have
I was on there. Last week, I've been watching some of the cafe commentaries. I watched Eric Bischoff talk about WCW 1994 for like 3 hours. Pretty good stuff.
Oh, I got there's news. The Shine Tag Team Champions the last few months had been Cherry Bomb and Kimberly. Kimberly's the one that made news from that video where she almost got killed. But Cherry Bomb, who is actually, I think, the Shawn Michaels of the team, a couple weeks ago on a WSU pay-per-view that I was watching live, broke her collarbone in the match. And it was against Candice LeRae, and you could tell she was hurt. Like, basically, all of a sudden, her arm, like, one of her arms is like she was trying to grab her shoulder with it. So basically, it looked like she was trying to put herself in a choke, and she wouldn't move it. And she just, you could tell her, she told something to Candice. Candice backed up, charged her, and she kind of tried to super kick her, and then just kind of like fell on top of her. And she broke her like collarbone, like all the way through. So she's going to be out for a while, so they just stripped them of the titles here.
That sucks. That really sucks.
Yeah. They to raise money, Pro Wrestling Tees has made like an operation shirt, where like instead of the guy from the Operation 4 game, it's Cherry Bomb, and stuff. So it's actually a pretty cool shirt. So hopefully she's selling some of those makeup for the income she's losing for this injury.
Does she have the red nose?
I think she does.
I never could win at that game. I always hit the sides.
I could get the rubber band, but that was about it. So, Katrina wanted to run down some old card shows. Did you want to do any of those? Did you send an email here?
Actually, I didn't see anything. I just looked at it. I was just going to run down a couple of these real quick from these old Madison Square Garden shows from the 80s. But just kind of some notable shows. Like,
let's just do the oldest one, and then we'll just go ahead and wrap up.
Do the oldest one? Okay.
Yeah.
October 17th, 1983. From Madison Square Garden, I just, this built here, it says, Tiger Chung Lee pinned SG Jones at 8 minutes and 41 seconds with Enziguri, and Freddie Blassie escorted Lee to the ring. Sergeant Slaughter defeated Ivan Putski.
Well, I gotta give a Tiger Chung Lee story, because it's the greatest story ever. And it's probably the biggest thing that ever happened to him, or most memorable thing, is, Tiger Kung Lee was doing the old Japanese gimmick, where he was, the karate guy, even though he really didn't do any karate, just some kicks and chops and nerve holds, shit like that. And, being the master of karate, you know, he's supposed to be able to to break bricks with his karate chop. And I believe it was maybe like the Buddy Rogers kind of like talk show thing he had. They brought out Kung Lee and they brought out some bricks. Well, I guess Craig would know this since he's kind of, you know, a handyman. But there's two kind of bricks. There's the bricks you can break and the bricks you can't. And they got the wrong kind of bricks. So poor Tiger Kung Lee chopped this brick and it didn't break. And he chopped it again and it didn't break. And he kept chopping it. You got to give him A for effort because he wouldn't stop. But he just could not break this fucking brick.
Gorilla
and it was the fucking funniest
bricks.
Thing ever.
Gorilla Monsoon was sent to buy these bricks, and he bought the kind of bricks that got, like, metal in the middle of them.
Oh, rebar. Oh, my goodness.
And so he's sitting there, he's chopping away at these bricks, and, like, it's like nicking a little piece of brick here and there off the side of it, and he can't get through it. It was on TNT or something. Something like that. I can't remember, but, yeah. It's all Gorilla Monsoon's fault.
Yeah, but that, like I say, that's the most memorable thing Tiger Kung Lee ever did. And S.P. Jones, one of the greatest jobbers of all time. He was awesome. Remember he had like a, didn't he have like a, you know, Dusty had his blotch, and then S.P. have like a dent in his back or something?
He had like a hole in his back?
Yeah, yeah.
Sergeant Slaughter beat Ivan Pusku by DQ after Pusku accidentally hit the referee. And Slaughter ducked. Tito Santana fought Iron Mike Sharp for 20-minute time limit draw.
Hold on. Ivan Pusky was like one of the most horrible wrestlers ever, but he was actually fucking awesome. And he was just awesome at being so horrible. And he was, what, like 5 foot? And about fucking 270? I mean, he was he looked like he could be in a Mr. Universe or Mr. USA, you know, competition because he was a jack motherfucker, and he used to always come out and say, Polish power, and everyone loved him. I think him and Tito had, like, a really good team in the early 80s.
They were the champions
70s.
at one point.
Yeah, the champions. Yeah, I think that was Tito's, like, first big push, and he's from San Antonio. I don't say he's from San Antonio, but he's lived here, and I remember they used to do, like, the, when he would wrestle for Southwest or Texas All-Star, he would do, like, the gimmick, you know, the strongman gimmicks where they do the different tests of strength. And one of the gimmicks, they were doing shows out of Gilly's bar, that famous bar. And basically they had people in the audience punch him in the stomach. And his abs were so fucking built that you couldn't hurt him. So some big dude comes in and punches him in the stomach. And then the next week they bring the guy back out because he fucking broke his hand and his hand was in a big old cast from fucking hitting Ivan Pusky in the abs and shit. But I'm sure that match was horrible.
Tito Santana wrestled Iron Mike Sharp to a 20-minute time limit draw in 18 minutes.
Iron Mike Sharp. I remember he was in one of the fucking first world. He was in the world class match for the Freebirds and David Von Erich won the titles, right? Yeah, yeah. I think that was the only time I ever saw him there. But I remember he basically had Cowboy Bob Orton's gimmick before Cowboy Bob Orton broke his arm because he had this big giant leather thing on his wrist that he would act like he loaded, and he was a big dude. And I think we talked about him last week where he had OCD and had to take
OCD,
like 100 showers a day.
He'd take like 15 showers in the arena or something.
Like he had the arm, or something.
He had the loaded arm gimmick before Orton, and he had actual Orton, so he had it for a long, long time. Let's see, the Masked Superstar defeated world champion Bob Backlund via count out at 16:33 following a corkscrew neck breaker on the floor. I think this is when they were doing the stuff when Eddie Gilbert broke his neck and they were doing that angle or something.
Yeah.
Do you remember
yeah.
that? And Matt Hooper became a big breaker and re-injured him.
There was also like a Pro Wrestling Illustrated cover story that Dino Bravo can teach Bob Backlund how to beat the Masked Superstar or something like that. I remember that. But the Masked Superstar is Demolition X, for people who don't know. And he was actually the top heel kind of for like a year or two when he feuded with Tommy Rich in Georgia, when they had like the most they were on the most cable channels or in most markets or whatever. But yeah, he was actually the Masked Superstar was actually pretty awesome worker. And he was a big guy too. And Craig, did you ever see him as the Masked Superstar and not just Action Demolition?
No, the only thing I ever saw was Demolition.
Okay. Well, you saw him at the end of his career. I met him at the WrestleCon this past year in San Jose. He was actually pretty fucking awesome. But, Bob Backlund, it's funny because at a lot of these Madison Square Garden shows, he really didn't wrestle the top contender. He would wrestle like this, or I remember there was a big uproar because he wrestled, I think, one of the Samoans at one of the Madison Square Garden shows, and people were like, why is he wrestling, one of the Samoans and shit? But, yeah, I guess he'd only do the big matches every once in a while.
Mike Graham pinned Bob Bradley with the German suplex in 4 minutes and 53 seconds. I never even knew Mike Graham wrestled for WWE.
They would bring people from Florida in. I think Senior had a good relationship with Eddie Graham. And, they'd bring in Dusty. And, every once in a while you see different, like Kevin Von Erich wrestled in Madison Square Garden. James J. Dillon wrestled in Madison Square Garden. So they'd bring people in the early 80s. Mo Moskitis and Carlos Colon, Tiger Mask. I mean, yeah, they really actually did. You'd be surprised at the people they'd bring in.
And just an extra note in the crowd for this show was Tommy Dreamer, Mick Foley, and Bubba Ray Dudley all attended this show. So, let's see, here's a famous matchup. Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco defeated Jimmy Snuka in a steel cage match at 6 minutes and 46 seconds when a flying headbutt from Snuka sent Morocco out the door. And after the bout, Snuka scaled the cage and hit a splash off the top onto the prone champion, 15 feet below. So that was a pretty famous match.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and that was like the greatest high spot for 20 years and shit.
Mm-hmm. They had Rocky Johnson pinned WWF Tag Team Champion Sika in 1 minute and 46 seconds with the Sunset Slip.
Who did he beat? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Sika.
Oh, okay.
The Samoan.
Craig, did you ever see The Rock's dad before?
I'm sorry, one more time?
Did you ever see
Rocky
The Rock's
Johnson.
Dad?
Just little clips. Never anything like full matches or anything like that.
He was one of the best workers in WWE when he was there. I mean, he was put together. And he could move, and he was fucking over. I'm surprised they never gave him either title. It always surprised me because he was so freaking over, man. He was so good too. But after he left, I never really heard anything after him. And after he left WWE,
I just remember most of what I saw was like him and when he and Tony Atlas won and lost the tag team titles. I remember they beat the Samoans. And they lost to Big Murdoch and Adrian Adonis. He also had some good matches with Morocco at that time for the Intercontinental title. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of those.
Next match was we had the Invaders defeated Israel Mattia and Butcher Vachon at 6 minutes and 58 seconds. After one Invader hip tossed his partner on top of Mattia. I guess this was the Invaders out of Puerto Rico. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. I don't want to talk about
Okay.
Then Andre the Giant pinned WWF Tag Team Champion Alpha in 1:07 with the boot to the face and sit down splash. Of course,
jeez.
What else was he going to use?
Right.
But that's when Andre was over. He was already starting to get fat at the time. But I remember it was a big deal when Andre used to come to fucking World Class or Southwest back then.
Yeah, it was like that everywhere. I mean, he'd show up in like maybe Georgia or, you know, Mid South. He was an attraction everywhere, so he wouldn't stay anywhere for long because he was too busy going from place to place, you know, just for like a week or so or something like that.
Yeah, I think he did more traveling than fucking Flair did, it seemed like.
It's probably a bigger attraction, too. You know, at the time, probably the biggest attraction, I think, maybe.
Yeah, he was a big deal back in the day. So, well, we'll go ahead and start to wrap up because I want to watch the rest of this pay-per-view. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream the show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrera and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. My name is on Twitter is Proper Jam, ProperJam, anything wrestling and website related, you can check out there. And look for me on Tuesday. I'm going to be doing something called Periscope, which is a live video feed from Brian's office right before the show. So we'll see how that goes.
Nobody wants to see that. See a midget and a goofy giant.
I think that's interesting, Craig. I don't know about the other guy, but
that's fine.
I think that'd be cool.
I hope so.
Anyway, you can go to youtube.com/Cotrera. We got a bunch of old wrestling videos up there. Put together a playlist with a bunch of episodes of. Some reason there was a bunch of episodes of Cops up there that I watched the other day. So just a bunch of different stuff up there. So everybody can go check that out.
So before we go, did you want to talk about Age of Ultron?
Yeah, I was wondering. I finally got to see it the last couple of weeks. I was wondering, what did you got to see it? What did you think? I mean, it's been a few months.
I saw it when it came out. I liked it. It's good. It's not as good as the first one. It's definitely not as good as the second Captain America. To me, Ultron should have got more than a one-shot. It should have been like maybe a two-parter. You know, they needed to build him up more than they did. Like the whole first movie should have been them building him up. And then the second one, you know, the comeback. So I think they put too much into it. They also had to fucking drop hints for about six other movies, and I think that kind of diluted it a little bit. So I don't want to say I was disappointed because I highly enjoyed it, but it should have been so much better. That's the only thing I could really say about it. I didn't like that they killed off Quicksilver because he's actually on the second Avengers team in the comic book with Captain America. And also, he's the first Avenger to ever go heel and turn on the Avengers, and they could have used that in the future. You know what I mean? So that kind of... Plus, he's also married to an Inhuman, and they're doing the Inhuman storyline on S.H.I.E.L.D., so I think they kind of screwed up in killing him off. And I thought Vision was actually pretty cool. I thought they did a good job with Vision. And Ultron was good. Like I say, they just didn't... It should have just been more. But, you know, like I say, I enjoyed it, but I was expecting better. I don't know what you guys thought about it.
I just picked up this DVD on the way home. Yes, I still buy DVDs. I love them. Actually, Blu-ray, but you know what I'm saying. I very much enjoyed the movie, and actually probably going to watch it again. Good storyline development, and there was plenty of heat on Ultron, so it made it good when he died. Oh, spoiler.
They didn't do a two-parter, because, you know, they already got a two-parter coming up, so. With
yeah,
the Infinity War.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, I'm not into, like, the whole, I'm never into the whole comic books. I don't know the characters, so I think I don't nitpick as much as most other people do. I just watch them.
See, that's my problem. You know what I mean? Especially, you know, I remember the comic. It's like, I guess, the same people who, like, read Stephen King novels and then say that the book's better than and then the movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I kind of have that disadvantage, but I'm sure if I had a clean slate, I probably would have, you know, enjoyed it more, thought more of it. But I don't know. I just, like I say, I enjoyed it. It was awesome, but it left me wanting more. It's, I guess, because in the comic book, the Ultron story was like a much bigger and longer deal, you know what I mean? To me, they just kind of didn't do it justice and cut it short, but... Like I say, I mean, I enjoyed it. It's just,
yeah.
I don't. It was not as good as the second Captain America. That's the best one so far of the Avenger movie.
Agreed.
I like I think this is like the best planned out like series of movies, because they plan them out so far in the head, and it coincides with like the TV show, because I'm a big watcher of the TV show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So
yes.
Like they had the episode with where they finally found a Strucker stronghold, where they had like these enhanced humans, and like Coulson called and said it's time to call the Avengers in. And I think that weekend after that show aired is when the movie came out.
Yep.
So it was like really great planning. Like it's same thing with the first season with the Winter Soldier, and you know that coincided with the Fall of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the TV show. So,
yeah.
So I like
that. That's very cool.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to the Civil War next year. I'm really looking forward to that. So
absolutely,
I really like this movie. I like the stuff with Hawkeye. You didn't get to see much of him like in the previous movies. Kind of focused on him a little bit because like his character, because he didn't actually have any powers. You know, he's just some dude. It's just he knows how to shoot a bow and arrow. And
I didn't like the thing with him with the family, because, and this goes back to being a comic book fan, his bitch is Mockingbird from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Bobby. You know, so it's kind of like, wait a minute. It's kind of like they totally changed the whole thing. I hate when they totally changed the whole thing. But
is that the one that's on
you know,
the
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Did,
it was cool that they focused on him more than they did the first movie. That was good that they did that, but.
That's on the S.H.I.E.L.D. show now, the Bobby you're talking about?
Yeah, that's his woman. Well, they got divorced,
okay.
But that was his woman for a long time.
I thought she was married to the other guy on S.H.I.E.L.D. She used to be.
That's the new storyline. It's not the comic book storyline.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And, I thought James Spader as Ultron was excellent. I love the scene in the... At the party when they're trying to lift the hammer.
Yeah.
And Cap tries to lift it, and it gives a little squeak, and you can see Thor gets a worried look on his face. And then then when the Vision picks it up, when they're getting ready to go fight Ultron, I thought that was a pretty awesome scene, too. So.
Yeah, I got to pop out of the Captain America part, because I think in the comic book, he's one of the few people who actually can lift it, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
that was actually, I love the way they did it with that look that Thor gave him, you know what I mean? Because it's just, it's like the end of X3 when like Magneto doesn't have his powers, but he kind of goes to push the chest piece, and you think it moves, but you're not sure. It was kind of like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, yeah.
Yeah, but overall, that's probably my, actually I went back when, actually, watched this like 3 weeks ago because it came out on digital about 3 weeks ago, and I watched all the, I went back and watched all the other Marvel films leading up to it. So, and it's probably my favorite one out of all of them. So, but it's a very good movie.
You liked it more than the second Captain America?
Yeah, actually I did. I guess because it's got more people in it, more characters in it. I guess I like that more of the ensemble cast, you know, with all the heroes in it. And
oh,
I like
it's
the
a Civil War
better,
comes out.
But, yeah.
Oh, I heard everybody's in Civil War. I heard Spider-Man might be in Civil War.
Yeah, Spider-Man is in Civil War, yeah, because they're doing another reboot. They can't get the Spider-Man shit right for some reason. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, hopefully now they learn that it's the right studio. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
They cast a new Spider-Man. Yeah, he's going to be in that, and I know Ant-Man's going to be in there. And the Witch, Scarlet Witch, and the Falcon, and
Black Panther.
I think Black Panther movie's coming out later this year. And also the Doctor Strange movie coming out later, or next year, I mean. They got the two new series on Netflix. Jessica Jones starts in November. And I think Luke Cage starts like next year or something. So,
yeah.
Superhero overload.
And then, I'm really hoping, I got two people I want them to cast as Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel. And, I want it to either be Katie Sackhoff, who is a Starbuck in the Battlestar Galactica, or Ronda Rousey.
Isn't The Rock Captain Marvel?
He's something else in the Shazam movie.
Oh, okay.
But it's a different Marvel. It's Marvel something.
He got Captain something.
Yeah. Captain... I think they're calling it Captain Marvel, but it's actually Ms. Marvel because there was a Captain Marvel who was the guy who died. It's actually the first graphic novel that Marvel did was The Death of Captain Marvel. It's actually an excellent fucking graphic novel. I mean, it's actually pretty awesome. And it ends with, like, Tonus comes out on it. Later on, there was a Ms. Marvel, who was, like, basically the female version of Captain Marvel until she got into a fight with Rogue from the X-Men, was very young, and she was touching her for so long that she totally stole all of Ms. Marvel's powers, which is, like, super strength and the ability to fly, which she didn't have in the movies, which is the only thing I didn't like about that. But basically she became, like, some, like, outer space character after that, but I'm sure they're going to totally leave that out. But she had, like, one of the sexiest superhero costumes of all fucking time. I remember that from the 70s.
And just saw the, I saw the, like, the Rogue cut version of X-Men Days of Future Past, like, a couple weeks ago. It's like an extended version. It goes, like, 2.5 hours. It's pretty good.
Oh, you've seen... Oh, I need to see the extended... I haven't seen the extended version. I heard that they cut, like, a lot of her stuff out.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a different movie because they put so much more of her in it. She plays a big role.
Oh, really?
Well,
I got to see if one of the sites that I use have the extended version. Totally forgot about that.
Have you seen the Suicide Squad trailer?
I haven't seen the trailer. I've just seen, like, the still shots. And, I don't know. Joker looks kind of weird. But that's the thing. That's what I don't like about the movie. You're debuting Harley Quinn as a babyface. They should have had her, like,
too many people with babyface.
Basically all of them, but they should have started her off as Harley Quinn, as the psycho fucking Joker wannabe psycho bitch chick who became, like, the most over person in DC comic. I mean, she got over big time, and you're skipping over all everything that made her awesome, and going straight to Suicide Squad. I don't really. I'm sure the movie will be good, but it's just like, I think they should have done more with her before the movie. You know what I mean?
And because like that this whole new kind of the new DC Comics or DC Universe, you know, they're going right to the big stuff. It seems like, you know, Batman versus Superman and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's like Marvel's slowly telling a story, whereas DC is going to hotshot everything.
Marvel has shit planned. They had their storylines planned out like 10 years in advance. Seems like.
Yeah. It's like the Monday Night Wars revisited with WWE and WCW, just now it's the comic books.
I will say that the more I see of Ben Affleck as Batman, the more I'm getting into him being Batman. I think he looks pretty awesome. I know a lot of people don't like it, but
I haven't really seen too much of it. I did love him as Daredevil. I thought he was great as Daredevil. I think the new Daredevil from the TV show is actually better from the Netflix show. But
yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's it. I just got Jurassic World on digital today, so I'm gonna go watch it.
Nice. We'll do the same, or something like that.
Craig, you have anything else you want to talk about before we go?
No, sir. I want to talk about. I want to talk about some pizza here in a minute.
Oh, and I also watched real quick. I watched on the flip side. I watched Guardians of the Galaxy, and I never fall asleep so many times watching a movie.
Jesus really? Christ.
Yes.
That's
another
bad.
One. I guess maybe if you're into that stuff, that you know the story is better. But I mean, I just couldn't get into it.
Huh.
Kind of goofy. It was a goofy movie, you know. Kind of had a lot of lighthearted stuff and comedy in it, so. Maybe that would
yeah.
I mean, stuff on Earth,
that.
You know, and not the other dimensions and stuff. I like your superheroes on Earth and stuff like that, I guess.
I actually got that behind Captain America. That's like the second best Marvel movie. No, what? Well, I'm excluding the X-Men, but I thought that was awesome.
A,
I love my favorite part of the movie.
A talking raccoon and a talking tree. I don't know. It's weird.
The best part of the movie, though, is when fucking Batista, Drax, he doesn't get, like, sarcasm or I forgot exactly what, and the raccoon goes, it's just going to go over his head. And Batista, all straight-faced, no, it will not. My reflexes are too quick. I will jump and catch it.
No.
It was just... Batista was awesome in that movie. He was incredible.
I think I napped during that line.
Oh, Couture.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll go ahead and wrap up, and we'll discuss during the week if we're going to do something on Thursday or we're just taking the week off. And then the week after, I will be back with many Shimmer stories. Hopefully, I won't get arrested. If I do, luckily, Mike Coughlin is in Chicago, so he can come bail me out.
Well, why would you get arrested? What were you going to do where you might get arrested?
Oh, I could tell
you. I don't know.
You're transporting dope, aren't you?
I'm not going to transport any dope. I'll see if I can get someone there. Liar. Or
something.
Oh. Don't do that no more. They got that fucking X-ray thing at the fucking Air Force now.
True. Very true.
But I'll have many stories from next week. And I'm sure Dave Prazak will be sick of me by the end of the weekend. And it'll be awesome. But everybody come back next. Well, like I say, we'll discuss what we're going to do next week. But we'll be back eventually. So everyone come back then, and we will talk to you then.
Be the man. You gotta beat the man. You wanna
to find out how good you are, you're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook them up. Tonight.